Welcome back to Harfar Tales.
Sounded real good at the start. That was like, ooh, that was a real good
radio
voice.
Yeah, I thought
we were
doing a dramatic intro.
No, I decided to ruin it.
Yeah.
I could do a dramatic intro if you want. How dramatic do you want me to be?
It's already ruined.
Super dramatic?
You've already ruined it.
You do it like the audio drama that you were part of.
Yeah.
The horror one?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Welcome back to Harfar Tales.
Yeah, I like it.
I hate it.
It's Whispering Ashes.
It is a little bit Whispering Ashes energy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of panics, kind of don't really know what's going on. Is it a tale? Is the heart fire even lit? Is it even lit, Ryan?
No. I don't like it. It's spooking me out. Do one as Hermy.
Hi, I'm Hermy. Welcome to Heartfire Tales.
I feel warm inside.
Wasn't quite Hermy's voice, but it was close enough.
I think he's done too much horror stuff. It sounded more like, you know, one of those creepy clowns.
Welcome to Heartfire Tales.
What's worse is what he's doing.
Yeah, you can't see it, but I did a weird thing with my shoulders.
He's being like a mannequin.
Yeah. Mannequin.
Mannequin. You are performing like a mannequin right now.
Okay. Enough about mannequins. Let's go back to Lethwan, the land of might, magic, and mannequins.
I'm okay with that.
That's much better.
It's supposed to be mobilizing forces, but mannequins is better.
Mannequins. Mannequins. It can't Yuck. Be a hard noise.
Yuck. All I can think, though, is that what if they had named Anakin?
Mannequin.
We did not grant you the rank of Master Anakin. Just ruins it. Like
We do not grant you the rank of Grand Mannequin.
What's wrong with us? Anyway.
Anakin Skywalker. I don't even know what that is.
This is done.
You guys are in the camp. Oh, no, hang on. There's a recap to be rolled.
Oh, yeah. Have you got your uke?
Yeah, have you got to sing
another
song?
Another song.
Do you mean I have to do actual rolls? Because I got a 15, so I'm fine with that.
I got a 9.
Oh, I got a 19.
Okay.
Not me this time. You know who does need the ukulele then? Dylan.
Why?
I got a 9.
Oh, then yeah. You.
Give me the uke.
Yes. Fucking off the dome.
Yeah,
Jim.
Let me just ad lib a song here.
Do you okay.
And
how to play ukulele?
Learn how to play the ukulele real quick.
I can play the ukulele perfectly. I don't need to prove that to you. What genre, though? Give me a genre.
One that happens in the next 12 seconds at least.
Okay. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. We were in a cave. The frogman was shaking, oh, he was quivering, but then he got quite brave.
Yeah, nice.
He said, how can I help you? We said, why, thank you, fella. We're gonna fight the hoots. So on went the jackets, on went the hoodies, and on we strapped on our boots.
Yeah!
Fucking, yeah, nice. I'm terrified when it comes to my turn for one of these.
I can bring it home.
Yeah, come on. Last verse.
Okay, so we hit up the lab and we searched everything and we found a metal plaque. And in order to prove everything that's happened, well, we're gonna bring it back.
Nice, yeah.
Nice.
So we met with Bush, who agreed to help, and we went to the Dini, who had coffee on the shelf. I'm losing it.
You're losing it.
Last bit. One line.
Bring it home.
So it's back to Stone's Reach with our friends by our side, so we can fight the Hoots Force and make them all die.
Yeah,
great.
Incredible start downhill.
Yeah.
No, I like it.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Dylan, you're failing the next one.
Yeah, in more ways than one, I think. Because I will not be able to do anything like that.
That was great, Jim.
That was great, Jim. Well done. For something that we literally true at you.
Yes, I was not prepared for that in the least bit, and I think it shows.
Yes, so. It came across that way, very much so.
Thank you. Ryan, that's up to you to write a backing track that works with my switching genres and tone.
There. You know what the funniest thing is? You start about talking about a frog, and that song in Looney Tunes is sung by
the frog. It's sung by a frog, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I think that's why I immediately, a couple of episodes, I made a joke about the frog singing that, and I think that's why my brain went there.
I mean, yeah, that's enough of a...
I think I covered it all. I think you covered the it struggle all. Was making it actually making make it a sense, song. Yeah. Like, you know?
Yeah, so obviously the big things that you've learned is that Maynard seems to be pretty fucking evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kel Surprise.
Yeah, and that at least his little cell of the Hoots Force have been responsible for... Because you would know, like... These three aren't the only Hoots Force.
Well, that's the question I had now. We've always maintained the Hoots Force are dicks, even before we met Maynard. Mm. But what if not all the Hoots Force are dicks?
Well, that's the funny thing, because Melody has been writing a song.
Yeah?
About a captain. A pirate captain. Yeah. Ahab. All Hoots.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Because they're allowing it to happen, Jim.
That's it. That's it. I agree completely.
So, political statements aside.
Yeah, well, let's change the topic real quick.
Not that they aren't valid, but they're just not on topic right now. You have found out that Maynard has been responsible for Stockholm syndroming. Bellicor, or as he is now kind of being okay with being called, Blake. And not Fredo. I don't think Fredo is going
to
stick.
No, it was just too funny to not bring up.
You've realized that Maynard has been kind of, you know, doing a lot of experiments on Bellicor or on Blake. He has kind of been manipulating him, developing his powers. He also has been going around cataloging and understanding and studying other like mutation events and then basically wiping them from the face of the earth. You see that, you know, sometimes it's been a mixture of just extracting their memories like they did to you, or sometimes when it was, you know, easier or more prudent to do a full-scale destruction, they've done it that way.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that they're pretty much a load of shitheads.
Yeah.
But they also, the other kind of big thing that came out, which are not clutching at 20 investigation check, just like,
that was great.
That was like an afterthought just before you guys left.
Yeah, I'm real glad I
that broke me. I'm sure Ryan has edited out of the previous episode, but I needed to take like 30 seconds to figure out what to do there.
Yeah.
You've also understood that the Hoots Force are acutely aware of this kind of like ley line activity disruption and extraplanar bleed into the material plane. And, you know, at the very least, have perfect knowledge of when this is happening. Either true, maybe they're manipulating it, maybe they're just measuring it really well, but, you know, it seems too perfect timing to be a coincidence.
Yeah.
And you've just learned from Bush that they've gone up to Stormzy's cabin, where obviously a large area of this extraplanar bleed was happening, the meteorological anomalies and stuff like that, and it has, you know, dawned on you and dawned on Bush that something is bad is going to happen to Stone's Reach, because they're probably going to find out, you know, what's happened up there and come looking for answers. And you guys have seen what happens when the answers are not what they want to find.
Yeah.
You have gotten some potions from Nadini. You've recruited Bush to your side. Unless there's anything you want to do in the Nadini camp, we can say you've left the camp and are heading back to Stone's Reach.
Yeah, 100%.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say you guys have kind of taken your super coffee. You're feeling kind of refreshed. You know it's not going to last forever and you will eventually crash, but it's about late morning. You arrive into Stone's Reach. Everyone is just kind of going around their business as normal. What do you do?
Help, help, help. I've been robbed. I've been robbed.
All right. You okay? I just kind of saw you walk into town. You're kind of making a fuss. What happened?
Everybody, come together. We've been robbed by the capitalist system. No. There's a big emergency. We need to get all together, like all the, you know, like
form the Iron Council.
Morrissey, yeah, form the Iron Council.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm kind of just a random NPC. I was on the street, but I'll fucking Aaron or something.
Come on, newsboys, start yelling about it from the corners.
This extra, is your extra. Job now.
Yeah, this is your job now.
Learn all about it. These random guys are going to tell a story.
There we go.
We should, very quickly before shit kicks off, just go and mark Vanny and Aaron's card that we have their abandoned children with us.
Yeah, what is your story? What is...
Yeah, while they're...
What are Blake and Son doing right now? What's your plan with them?
Well, I should hope they have their hoods up.
Yeah. And before we...
That's fine. I can say that you guys probably got like additional cloaks and clothes from Nadini. Stuff, yeah. That's
hey,
okay.
Hey, Blake, Sunrise, listen.
Yeah.
The Iron Council is going to be forming, you know, but it's going to take a while, like probably like a half hour or something before they're actually together. We don't want to force this on you, but we think it might be a good idea if you would want to meet up with your parents.
I mean, how am I supposed to fucking react to that? And you see, like, he looks super, like, troubled.
Will they want to see us?
They were heartbroken to lose the two of you.
Mm. You should know as well that you have a brother.
You see, like, he kind of, like, freezes and, like, doesn't know how to react to this. He's like,
I think I should probably, I guess, see them. Don't really know what to make of this. What are they? What, how we look? Is that going to be an issue?
No, if they could put up with, think you're fine.
What?
What?
I mean, also, you guys look great. What are you on about?
Yeah, you guys are the coolest looking ones in the party.
Yeah, but
Sid is definitely not.
Very different.
Mean, he thinks that Fink is very cute, so he's not going to be weirded out by a frog man.
Yeah, Khan just doesn't want them thinking they're ugly.
No, like...
We've seen how they attacked us and came hunting for us before.
They weren't Sunrise, your parents.
Sunrise, show him the memory that you have of how when you already looked like that, that they were weeping about having to get rid of you.
Yeah, Sun shows, it was one of the memories that, you know, she'd shown in the Clockwork Orange scene. Shows it again. You know, not, obviously he's evolved and mutated more, but the core of him was still, you know, beginning. Yeah, he was, the frogging had begun at that stage.
He was just a tadpole then.
Yeah. And
keep the hoods up. We'll go in first and let him know.
Would you like us to bring them out to you? Would that be easier for you?
I think we do it in their place, like in one of the rooms, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
So that way still other have our people room. Yeah, yeah.
If that's what you think is best.
Do you guys eat sawdust?
I mean, probably.
Seems to be all your parents serve for some reason.
Yeah, maybe you guys go around like the back of the inn to where, you know, is like the kitchen entrance.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you know? You walk in and you see Vanny there, kind of, you know, in a kind of a lull, doing like lunch prep and stuff like that for like midday meals.
Hey, Vanny.
Oh, well, what's the...
Would you mind, you know, your staff have probably got this pretty well. Would you mind going up to our room and grabbing Aaron and we'll follow you up there?
Is everyone all right?
We got a couple people that we think you should meet.
Oh, okay.
I'll walk with you and Khan, you come after me like in like 5 minutes, you know?
Aye, yeah, no problem.
Sure, okay. Kind of like doesn't know what's going on, but is like not going to not trust you and follows you up into your room.
Do we grab Aaron on the way?
Yeah, he comes along. Well, what's all this about?
So listen, as you know, people have been having nightmares.
What? I mean, and he like looks at Vanny and like, you know, he's very obviously had them as well. Well, yeah, like,
and you maybe thought that if you saw, did you ever see a face in it or anything, or see the dude?
I hadn't know, but like people have been speaking about it kind of since he's had that kind of meeting in there. Which, by the way, Marcy's not too fucking happy about. I've had to have some stern words with him. He might be a bit of an issue.
So in our travels, we have met the one responsible for it, and he's joined our side.
What?
I know, but...
What are you...
Hold on.
I mean...
Hold on, because I know that's shocking in and of itself.
Yeah?
But he's probably a bit familiar to you all as well, along with his sister.
You see their faces just drop.
and we have a couple people that would like to meet you.
You see, like, just all of, like, the colors just, like, drains from their faces. And they're like, look, I don't know what you saw or what you know, but we had to do what was best.
We know. You're, neither of them communicate conventionally. So just to let you know that. You probably, when they were children, felt like something tugging at your mind or anything. Your daughter calls herself Sunrise, basically. And your son has taken the name Blake, which, unfortunately, is a name he has taken by where the Hoots Force were experimenting on him. So they are both fragile, and your son is quite traumatized.
The Hoots Force were experimenting?
Yeah.
On our kids?
Just on one. Sunrise stayed up in the mountains.
You see that Aaron at this point has kind of just like gone like full like dad shock. And like, you know, like an, you know what I mean? And just has like shut down, doesn't know how to process anything. Has just kind of like just sat on the bed and has gone completely silent. And Vanny kind of continues like, okay, but next, are you mad? Did you not hear that the Hoots Force are like in the area? If they know that they're here, they're going to kill them.
We are going to do what we can. We have called a meeting with the Iron Council and we'll take that discussion. I know that Aaron sits on that, but we figured during this meeting might be a good time for you all to maybe meet with your kids.
Is that who's downstairs now?
Yeah. Khan was probably at the door, so I'll go get him.
You open the door for Khan and Blake and son.
I want to make sure they're ready as well. So I just want to double check in with them.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll... I think I can be ready for this.
No, check in with...
Oh. Blake and son.
Oh.
Yeah.
You see that they're kind of like equally as hesitant in this situation, but like they followed you up. Okay. So,
all right, well, look, just say the word and I'll take you out of here, all right? And I open the door when I hear sit on the other side of it.
Yeah, come on in, Con.
I kind of lead him in by the shoulders.
You kind of push him in forward. And there's this kind of just like tense moment where just all four of them kind of just like look at each other. And you see kind of Blake kind of looks at you and you can tell he's having some sort of like psychic conversation. And like, you know, the parents kind of like look shocked and like set back as, you know, something speaking in their mind. And you see Vanny just breaks into tears, just like completely overwhelmed. You see Aaron kind of stands up and is like, I need to get ready for the council meeting.
No, you don't. You can stay here. We'll take the council meeting. It's fine.
I think he should be there because he's going to be the one on our side. Otherwise, it's going to be us versus the council, you know?
Yeah. I mean, maybe, yeah.
Because no one on the council knows what's going on. And Morrissey is staunchly against us after I humiliated him publicly.
I can maybe take a few minutes here, but I just... And then you kind of see he looks at Blake and kind of like looks again. And you see all of his like emotions kind of run through me like, fuck, I can't abandon him now again.
I have to go and talk to the giant, and it'll still probably be some time before the council manages to convene, because we did just get a randomer to try and find them all.
Tell them to come here. Here, take this. And he like, there's like a small, like, he takes like off like a ring that's like, you know, the symbol of the Iron Circle. Look, take this. They'll know it's coming from me. Tell them to meet here. I want to stay up here. And
yeah.
All right.
Leave him to it. Sunrise, are you okay if we go?
She nods her head, and like you can see they're kind of like, they're all kind of at this like weird kind of like stalemate, and none of them know what to do. And then Vanny kind of just like shakes herself out of it and just rushes up and starts hugging the two of them. And you see Aaron kind of like slowly kind of like step, you know, stand up from the bed and like kind of like also reaches in and puts his arms around them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we should go and find Monica then. But very quickly, I'm going to say, Blake, we're going now, but I might need your help with something in just a little while, if that's all right with you.
You hear in your voice, in, you know, a voice in your head, he's not even turning around. He's like, anything, I'll just think for me and I'll hear.
Will do. All right, off to Monica.
Yeah, let's go.
Assuming she's not gonna, they're not gonna be that hard to find.
No, you kind of like walk out and you kind of just like see this, like, it takes you only a couple of minutes as you're going around, you find other people, you're, you know, brandishing the ring, being like, get Marcy over here, get the other members over here, let Leo, let's go. And you just kind of start sending more and more people out to gather people around. And you're walking in, there's like kind of near enough to the last resort, there's like a market square. And you see just giant, he's like probably like a good like 12, 13 foot tall, just like walking through, like looking at people and going, oh, and like squatting down and like saying hi to people.
I want to get their attention away. I'm Monica.
And you see there's like just like a huge like crowd of people all being like, like, yo, they would know that the giants exist and are nearby, but they don't see them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Sure, for sure. I want to...
Con, Eagleman.
How are you,
ultimate
Monica?
Friend of giant.
That's exactly it. I squat, but I want to do it like as an attack to the ground. I want it to be that big of a...
Yeah, you do that. Your belt of giant strength just like drives your ass into the ground. You slam it. There's like a small little kind of like tremble from it.
Yeah.
Monica like equally does the same kind of like... Those like fruit falls
falling off.
Off
their feet and stuff
like off like stalls and stuff nearby.
Fink is gonna run up and kind of like, you know, jump like a, you know, dog expecting a treat from like an owner or whatever, you know, at Monica, hoping to get a bite of some donkey ration they maybe have left.
What jumping? What do? What?
Fink is wanting to, oh, don't give him any.
Okay. Food?
Yeah.
For Fink, friend of Con, friend of giant, I can give some food.
What's my friend of giant?
He gives a little bit of nondescript meat and throws it down onto the ground.
Oh, we all know what it is.
good, you here.
You saw the Hoots Force?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That was last night, or early, like, evening.
And you know, it's like a good, you know, he probably arrived here late last night, told Bush, who instantly kind of left to get you at, like, you know, early dawn.
So, about 14 hours ago.
Man, with the speed they fly, we have no time at all. Like,
They came down and asked, had we seen anything weird? We said that Stormzy and Con, ultimate friend of giants...
Oh, you name dropped me. That's so good.
...had dispelled meteorological anomaly. And I don't know how I said that word.
Yeah.
Big word for Monica, but I learn.
You learn from... David Bowie. Yeah.
Yes. He shows this little wristband.
An intelligence.
Yeah, this enhanced intellect. Just for some word.
It's like a dictionary phrase.
Very minor superpower. Anyway, as theoretical result of this. The circumstance of their arrival has been potentially grave.
I think you're probably exactly right with that analysis. We need help. They are going to come here and they are going to lay waste to this place and all of these people.
Just so you know, dude, Hoots Force aren't good guys.
They
you know,
had a lot of aggression, ambivalent fury and hatred towards us.
You know the bad dreams people were having and stuff. Like, they were the ones causing that. We got proof of it.
I need not proof. I take
he
word
has my
of,
word for it.
I have Con's word. But they were threatening the giants, but Fred, very strong. They did not want to mess with Fred. Fred sent me down here as envoy messenger to you, as we realize they might come for you next. If what your bard and what Stormzy had said, you were studying things, maybe they...
They want that knowledge. They don't want that knowledge made public.
That's what Fred thinks. Fred didn't like them.
Aye, Fred has a good intuition.
I don't like them either.
He gives a squat.
I love
it. Look, I can help.
Seeing him here has given me a new hope.
Hey! That's enough Star Wars reference.
Yeah.
I can help if whatever Con need.
They are going to come here and I need you to win that. Violence upon them, more than likely. Or can you get more giants? How long did it take you?
Took me 4, maybe 5 hours to get here.
Oh, well then we maybe just trip. Have Monica.
We just have Monica.
How would you like to do to a squishy wizard man what you did to a donkey?
I don't really eat.
No, not the eat part, just the squish part.
If he causing bad dreams and enemy of Con, I can squish.
How far do you think you could kick a druid?
You see Monica kind of puffs out his chest, like, I hold long ball kick record.
Well, I think I have village. Just the job for you.
Okay, well, you just tell me what you need to do. I
come to a council meeting.
Yeah.
Sit in a little chair.
I don't think he's going to fit in the building, but we can open one of the windows.
If that's what you need, yeah.
All right. Actually, if you could just keep an eye out.
Gladly,
you have the best vantage point of anyone here. I'm assuming he's like taller than the buildings and stuff, right?
Yes, taller than some of the buildings. Yeah. Hmm.
Sid's going to run directly to Sloppy Joe's.
Okay. Yeah.
You know how great this restaurant is now, and how well you've been doing. Somebody is going to trash this place if you don't come to the Iron Council meeting.
There's too many voices in this episode.
he was like Johnny Cash.
I know, he was well, oh, my best customer. What can I do for you?
I'm very worried, dude, because, like, I don't want to stop getting pulled pork here, but there's somebody coming that's going to trash the town, and it's going to trash your restaurant. It's the Hoots Force.
I mean, that seems mighty unlikely of the Hoots Force, but I guess kind of Bush have been kind of telling stories of what they had done and over in Hovden and stuff.
Yeah, show them the thing.
Yeah, they're real bad dudes. Look at this. Wheel, wheel, wheel.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, like, so you could use, like, your knives you have for carving, like,
Is there going to be a fight?
Yeah, probably, dude.
Fuck.
Well, it turns out that I am a level 20 fighter.
I mean, like, I've been known to kind of wrestle in the day, but it's kind of how I met my husband. But I mean, I guess I can fuck if we're gonna.
Yeah,
I don't know if we're gonna fight the Hoots Force, but I'm not gonna give up my shop.
I kind of just
had a recent upturn in activity. You know how good it is to say the band is eating at your business. There's like, you know, like there are other people in the shop. It's actually a little bit busy now.
That's the thing. Fink and I don't want to lose the best pulled pork we've ever had, man.
And you see, like, loads of people are like, He just said it's the best pulled pork ever. And he, well, look. I'm just a burger place owner, man.
Yeah, our priority on allies is real skewed here.
Not to sit and think.
I can help. Maybe be a better idea if you talk to maybe someone like Marcy or Aaron, who's on the Iron Circle and has a bit of influence in the town.
I just didn't want to lose my best throw, Dylan. Off.
I really, really appreciate it.
Because I know that Dylan would be like, "Oh no, that Sloppy Joe's was destroyed in the fight. You can't go back there."
Yeah, for sure. You gotta earmark that it's prepared.
Now we need to protect Mr. Fister.
Yeah, exactly. I'm assuming he's probably almost Iron Council level at this point anyways.
He's the great elder on it.
What's Con doing while Sid has run off?
Johnny. Go and talk to Johnny.
Yeah, you see Johnny's actually now kind of set up. He has his wagon set up in the square. So he kind of, like, after he sees you talking to Monica there, he kind of waves your... Con, what can I do for you?
Johnny, I got some bad news.
Good to see you again. Oh, what's
Hoots Force bad guys. I think I told you about this.
Yeah, there's been whispers around the town, kind of what Bush have been saying, and kind of, you know, what you've been saying about Hovden, and kind of painting a little bit of a bad picture.
Right, well, you know, whatever you have in your head about them being bad, quintuple it, and then, and that's kind of the level we're at. But they're on their way here right now, and their aim, I have to assume, is firmly settled on the destruction of this town. Now, I don't know if you're much of a fighter or not, or if it's time to settle up. Oh, hey, Peugeot. Give Peugeot.
Oh, I meant to. Yes, I wanted to thank you for that. I mean, it's nice that Mercedes has a friend again.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the least I could do. I don't know if you're up for a fight, but if not, I'd take this carriage and I'd get out of here because it's about to go.
I mean, I probably fit a few people in here.
Say,
to,
if you could if, take some of the elderly and get them out of town.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I can maybe round up some of the other merchants and stuff in here. We can, if yeah, I mean, look, I've no reason to doubt you. Like, it's
yeah,
I can do that. Yeah.
I want to say head out towards the giants. Tell them that first, don't let them near your donkeys. Tell them that Con, ultimate friend of giants, sent you, and that the giants will be strong enough to protect them if it goes tits up here.
I mean, is that not where the Hoots Force are? I don't really feel confident riding towards them. What if they come swooping down?
That's true. Just thinking they probably focused on here, but if they see people from here, might, yeah, I don't know, the Nadini might not be strong enough to protect them either, you know?
I mean, I can. They might not be going for Nadini.
That's true. Make your way out to Nadini for now.
Okay.
Can I leave this with you?
Sure, yeah. I can tell you what, give me a charisma check or persuasion check, Con. This is going to be kind of relevant to maybe how many non-fighting fit people kind of get out of here.
Yep, that's 14.
Okay, 14. Noted.
For the sake of brevity, Sid is going to run up to Stormzy's room. Mm. And Stormzy is out shopping. So he's going to leave a note in Town's cant, you know, in the language of him, and mm-hmm. slide it under the door so that way when he gets back, he sees, hey, this is what's going on. You know, his forces are coming. Iron Council is going to meet. We need the help of a sorcerer.
Yep. You leave that note. Anything else you'd like to check? As, you know, as you're doing that, Sid, you kind of like going around like the outskirts of town doing that. Con, you're very much in like the center of town, kind of like trying to gather more people and stuff like that. And Johnny starts like, you know, whipping people around. He's like, look, if there's any kind of supplies or anything you guys need, I got some stuff here. I don't know what might be useful, but you know, I don't really tend to deal much in magical trinkets. But if there's general supplies or anything you want, just let me know and I'll sort you out.
I would almost say anything he can distribute to the people who are going to be fighting, because we're pretty kitted out at this point, right?
Yeah.
But if you can just up the level of the combatants in any way, shape, or form, anything you can do to help him.
I mean, I got a little bit of stuff. Marcy might probably he's kind of ahead of the smiths. They might be able to get arms and stuff. I got a couple of bits from there, but kind of more custom pieces for lords back then in Azumakia. But yeah, look, I'll see what I can do.
Nice.
But then he kind of continues on rounding people up and, you know, starting putting the convoy together to leave. You've talked to Stormzy. Anyone else you want to talk to?
I think it's just Marcy and the council now.
Yeah, so you guys kind of taking a bit of time, gathered everyone together. You head back to the last resort where, you know, everyone is meeting. And you see Marcy kind of like at the head of the table. You know, there's like three others on the council. For the purpose of this, fairly insignificant. You see Aaron still hasn't come down yet. Mm. And Marcy's like, well, looks like Aaron's not going to join us, but I don't think... You know, I think we continue out. We still have a majority here.
Blake, it's time. Could you send your father down, please?
Okay. You hear like a...
Okay. And stay on the call. I'll need you in a minute.
And kind of as Marcy's kind of like, you know, getting everyone to order, Aaron walks down. He sees, you know, you guys walk in. Well, I believe this is a... Aaron, this is under your call, but I believe it's you, this band, whatever you call yourselves now, have called this meeting. What's the purpose of this?
The town is in danger. The people of this town are in danger. Imminent and overwhelming danger. There is an enemy on their way here whose single purpose is to wipe out every single living person in this town. Now, I know this seems alarmist and you're not going to believe me, but... We have proof. I just want you to hear me out before you make your judgment. And I'm addressing kind of everyone, not just the council themselves. We know that you've been having nightmares. There's no sense dancing around that anymore. And we know that the town has had its issues. Same as everything in the vicinity of the town. And I know initially when I say this, you aren't going to believe me. But this is all the cause of the Hoots Force. I wait to see what the general reaction is there.
General reaction is mixed to say... the least. Some people have bought into what Bush have been saying a lot more. Some people were on your side already. The vast majority are looking to Morrissey more for kind of like what his reaction is, and the kind of like there's a lot of kind of like just like general murmurs of outcry and, you know, shock and horror as you're kind of like painting this picture. And Morrissey kind of just addresses you and says, well, nightmares have stopped from what I can tell. Maybe you're not full of it.
No.
What proof have you got?
That's what I was going to show them. No time for dancing around this. I show them first the slate and be like, let them know that we found a lab from where the nightmares were originating. It was branded with this. and he is a smith, I'm assuming, would know.
Yep.
Yeah. Second to that, the experiments that were going on in that lab produced stones that were capable of recollecting memories. And I want you all to look at this. And I bring the image.
Wow, wow, wow.
So, Khan, you kind of present all this evidence to everyone. And it's pretty damning. It's pretty cut and dry for a lot of people. And they are all, you see the, particularly there was one girl that had also seen Bellicorn had spoken to her. And she's able to kind of like back it up. And she's like, that's
corroborate.
That's the face. That's the person that I saw in my dreams. Mm. And Busher there, and they're like that. You know, they're like, oh, dudes, that's Maynar. Like, that's one of the Hoots Force. You know. So this is overwhelming kind of evidence towards it. And Marcy is like, okay, what? He's still looking very kind of like, he's still kind of distrustful of you, Jim. Mm.
He's fine with Khan. He's just distrustful
of Jim. Yeah. He's like, look, I think this is Iron Circle business now. We're going to go and discuss what needs to be done here.
Respectfully, Marcy, you do not have time to sit on your laurels and discuss this. If the Hoots Force are coming, they're going to be here soon. Like, these guys can fly faster than a horse can run. If they're here, they're going to be here soon.
Give me an intelligence check. Anyone can do this.
15.
Nat.
1 or 20.
20.
Brain blast.
Sid, you think back, and this is something that you're probably somewhat familiar with, being able to calculate how far a beast could travel, so to be able to hunt it and, you know, to know how it's gone. So you're quite good at judging speeds and things like that. You reckon that based on how fast they were able to kind of fly in their like wind form that the druid cast, going on rough timelines, you don't think it's like imminent that they're going to come. But
Khan is also lying here.
Oh no, like, I know. He's but just trying so, to get people. Just so you also guys know, maybe have 3 or 4 hours.
So you say that about imminent, and
you also don't know how long the Hoots Force are going to need at Stormzy's. What they're going to do there, if because they might go and read all of his research.
So Khan is looking at this as an unprepared village about to come under attack. 3 or 4 hours in his head is imminent.
Yes. When you say for sure.
When you say that about imminent, Sid sits down, pulls out his book, and begins like sketching like a geometry equation on there, and then goes, based on what we've observed, Khan, like I'm just saying it just to you, it's more like, you know, 3.5 hours with a standard deviation of about a half hour.
So even less time then. Great. Fantastic.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that you weren't, you know, exaggerating. You know?
No, if anything, I was under-exaggerating.
Yeah, that's a word.
It is. Ask Monica.
I concur. Just like head and peeking through the window.
Yeah, like head fully in one of the windows.
Marcy looks at you. Look, I appreciate that, but I think we need to still discuss it as a council first, discuss the best way of defense. If you want to be part of that, I'll consider, but tell you what. And he looks at Sid. And he's like, I'm going to talk to this kid first.
What do you want to talk to him for? No offense, Sid. This is a defensive question, not a...
Look, I've always thought that strength of a person is not measured by what they do, but who follows them. Sid here is, you know, seems to follow what you say. You seem to be speaking for him. I want to get his opinion of you.
I dislike you, Marcy, but goddamn if I don't respect that sentiment. Khan respectfully steps back.
Marcy kind of turns to Aaron, and Aaron's like, Aaron, will you put out the word, gather everyone here, in the surrounding areas, if you can get people to safety. I'm gonna go talk to this and see if these guys are worth putting our faith in. Marcy kind of beckons you to follow him. Sid, what do you do?
Yeah, I'll go with him.
He brings you kind of just like a short walk away to kind of where his like workshop is and his shop. And he's like, okay, Sid, you're not afraid of some hard work, are you?
Of course not.
Good. He hands you like a small like blacksmith's hammer. He's like, you know how to tend for that bow? You know how to make arrowheads?
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, show me what you got. And he starts like, you know, yeah, he's like, has some. He's like, you know, we can talk, but we can be practical about this. And he starts also like crafting. And kind of starts beckoning you to, you know, start crafting some arrowheads and stuff as well.
Yeah, Sid moves over to another part of the shop and
instead gets out the oil and begins oiling his string and tending to his bow itself.
Okay. You know, I've lived a pretty long time, as far as us humans are concerned. All my life I've been a smith. Treat people like I treat iron and how I treat steel. And, you know, he's like hammering away as you're doing it. You both are kind of just, you know, tending to your weapons, preparing. As he's like, you know, kind of quenching some things. I found the best of them are forged by fire, shaped by someone with a careful but strong hand. You know, I also think, just like smithing, it's all well and good to have a perfect piece of armor or a good solid band for a barrel. But, you know, they mean nothing if what they're protecting isn't worth the time and effort. You know, I guess it's what's inside the cans. It's the quality of the steel, the quality of the materials you're working with. You know, as I said, the strength of someone is not measured by what they do, but who follows them, who they inspire. And, you know, if you look at a child misbehaving, you don't blame the child, you blame the parents. And so I look at this Con Greystone and, yeah, you know, your bard's been singing songs about him being ultimate friend of the giants, single-handedly slaying an abomination. But, you know, I'm looking past him. I'm looking at you. Well, you're a young kid, what are you, 15, 16? You know, I see you following this guy into battle. He doesn't have a firm handle on you. You're running around with that rat of yours when we were having that meeting last time. Don't think I didn't notice that. You know, when you're smitten, you learn to look for cracks, for impurities. Things that are going to weaken the metal. You don't get the reputation I have as a smith if you miss things like that. So, Sid, who are you? Why do you follow Khan? Why should the rest of the town follow Khan? If I'm gonna hand my town over to someone else to protect them, to lead them, keep them safe, I gotta trust them.
First off, 17, sir. Second off, as a smith, you might want to check the cracks in your smithing hammer before you start checking the metal. Because what you did overlook are the voices in the crowd that did sway the opinion of everyone else. The youth in that meeting that did have a voice of what they were experiencing that weren't afraid to speak out. Because they are the ones that I spoke to. And they are the ones that spoke out there. And in the same way, where you are missing where the cracks are, it brings up the second point. Which is your old view, sir, that everything needs to be led and people need to follow. Because I do not follow Khan. Khan and I are a team and we work together. And in the same way that he worked you and your council, I worked with the people in the crowd because they are the ones that had the sway on you. You, the smith, the hammer, are affected just as much by the metal and what you try and shape underneath it. So you should perhaps stop looking at just the metal of one man, but by what they are actually doing, by who else is their company, because it is not just one leader, it is an entire group. And in just the same way that I don't judge you solely by how you lead or anything like that. It's by the importance of the people in your town and what they are doing and how they are acting. And you have a great town here, but that is not just as a result of you. That is a result of all their actions, all their decisions, and everything that they deserve a chance to stand up for and fight for. This isn't your decision, this is theirs. And if we want to take a second and talk about Khan himself, you know what? Yeah, Khan is great. And the reason that I did team up with him, not follow, team up with, is because from the start, the first thing that he ever did was to stand up for me and Fink when we were being attacked by Dragon Force. Nobody else was. They were too intimidated to do anything. Khan said, this isn't right, and I'm going to do something about it. And that in and of itself, it's not about being some military dictator and doing the perfect movement or anything like that. It's saying, this isn't right, and I'm going to stand up to it. And that's what Khan does, and that's what we do, and that's what your people deserve a chance to do as well. This isn't about your Iron Council making every decision. It's about you all guiding, not leading, not forcing. Think of yourself in the same way that I did not focus on the point of this arrow over here, which is the least important part. What's more important is the wood, which grows, and you observe it, and you choose which one is formed perfectly, and then you shape your bow to be able to guide the arrows through. You don't force it through like a hammer. You don't smash it through like a hammer or a sword. You guide it. And to lead a town, you need to guide more like a bow and less like a hammer, sir.
Roll a D... roll 2d6 for me.
Okay. 7.
You see he's been silent the entire time you've been talking, and he kind of takes a few minutes of silence after that, and he's not lashing back at you. He appreciates that you spoke directly, respectfully, and he kind of finishes quenching some arrowheads, and he kind of finally looks up and looks at you. He says, you know, this is why we have a circle. Everyone brings different things. So I'm not a leader. I'm part of it. And yeah, sometimes if you live your entire life one way, you only see things one way. And I appreciate you shedding some light on that. Khan seems like a decent man.
He is.
Take these, and he gives you 7 plus 1 arrows.
Nice.
And says, okay, the Iron Circle, I'll talk to them, say what you said to me. We will not follow. We will work with you. And Khan can be the guide of this town for today.
I appreciate that. Cid is going to get his bag out, and there's a different type of bookmark that he has, that these have more of like one of the ancient symbols of town on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, openness, willing to learn. It's entirely what town is about. And bookmarks serve two purposes. One, to keep your place. Two, to remember that which was most important. And I want you to keep this, because what you've shown today is one of the most important facets that we're taught in town, which is to be open and to learn. And as someone that is as hot-headed as myself, sir, like, that's something I try and learn every day. You are welcome in town anytime, and we want to have you as an ally with us.
He reaches your hand to shake it. Like, you know, you might be a kid, but, you know, you're doing all right.
I'm going to tell Herman that. He'd be so happy and won't believe you. But
you see, he goes and, like, takes a bookmark and kind of, like, puts it in, like, on, like, a shelf, like, kind of, like, behind his, like, his workstation. He's like, okay, let's get back to the inn and get going. Give me a hand with this. And he starts just, like, there's, like, spears and swords and shields that he's, like, you know, had. That's clearly probably, like, remnants of when they used to produce lots of armor and arms for things. Like, we're going to give these to anyone who can help. We'll talk to Brethnock. We'll get the veterans armed. We'll get people to safety. Let's get ready. Let's get back to the people.
Cool. Great talking with you, dude.
Yeah, you too. Khan, after 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so, you see Cid come back. Marcy kind of walk in. They had left Marcy very much walking like 3-4 steps ahead. They're kind of like walking back now, equidistant, like shoulder to shoulder almost.
Oh, very good. Very well illustrated.
Thank you. He's like, right, Khan, Eagleman, I vote to nominate you to as being head of defense for Stone's Reach.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at the Iron Circle, who all kind of like raise their hands in agreement. And particularly, you know, Aaron's hand goes straight up.
Cid is behind him when he says that and like leans out and gives a little thumbs up.
I give him a little thumbs up. Low-key back.
What's the plan here?
Is there many people here?
Yeah, you kind of see at this point, like the Johnny has been like taking anyone. Basically, the cry has gone out. Like Brethnock has maybe kind of come and give you a hand. Be like, well, look, or Icon, look, sure, we can, me and the daughter veterans, we'll get ourselves armed up. We can give you a hand. There's not many of us. There's about a dozen or so, but we've all seen combat. We can see what we can do. What are you thinking?
All right, round them up, bring them back here, double time.
He rushes off, starts getting people.
Yeah, I need everyone who's kind of halfway able-bodied here right now.
Kant, do you think maybe some of the elements that, like, you know, I've shown you recently, with how strong they are, you know, that maybe some of the stealth element would be a good idea, you know?
Aye, absolutely. I think there's going to be a place for everything we can use in this fight.
Cool.
Yeah, dudes, if you want, like, stealth, we can maybe help with some, like, illusions and stuff, if that's kind of what you're...
That's
what are you going for?
That's why I was thinking it'd be good to have you here, Gavin.
Well, I mean, dudes, like, we're going to do what we can.
Yeah, to mask the strength of our force is definitely a good idea. Gavin, hold that thought.
Sure thing, dude.
Are they here? Can I just wait?
Yeah.
Menu, wait.
Sure. Minutes. Yeah, you.
Okay. I'm going to get up on, like, the fountain, I guess, in the middle of town.
Sure. We say that, you know.
Like, this is a town square job. This is no longer inside the pub job. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just address the crowd and be like, some of you know me. My name is Con Greystone. I am the Eagle Man, the ultimate friend of giants.
Ooh.
Thanks. I wait for somebody to go, woo, and it doesn't happen.
Monica goes, huh, and squats.
Oh, good enough for me. I say, when we came here, you as a town were waiting. You were waiting for someone to come and help you, for a band to show up and fix all your problems. I'm here today to tell you that. That's not how you need to be. You can't rely on others. You can't rely on bands whose agendas are their own, who are more preoccupied with their own image than the towns or the people they're trying to safeguard. I need you to stand up and to protect yourselves, to stand as Stone's Reach, united, and say, we're here and we can look after ourselves. So for those who are willing to take up arms and take your own defense into your own hands. Listen well to what I'm about to say. The words I'm about to speak will come to you. And if you feel so inclined, I would have you speak them with me. And in my head I go, Blake, I want you to make everyone aware of the words I'm about to speak. And I project them to him first.
Yeah, he can do that.
And then I chest voice
these
next few things. And I say, if there are allies behind me, I will stand. If there are conquerors approaching me, I will stand. I am the bastion that stands undefeated. I am the stone that cannot be moved. Let those who would try to subjugate me break themselves upon my will. I will wield my strength as a blade and my will as a shield. I will never falter. I will never yield. This I swear to myself, as one who stands unbroken, as long as I draw breath, no harm shall come to those I protect. This is my oath.
After the first line or two, more and more voices join in. You kind of see everyone, like, just steel themselves, kind of getting ready. You know, word has gotten around, you know, something big is coming and they're going to have to stand. You know, you see people who have a mother who's, like, gone and hidden their child away or sent them with Johnny and the rest of the merchants is, you know, standing now with, like, a shield that's been thrust into her hand by Marcy and, like, a spear is kind of standing there ready. You see, you know, one of Brethnock's veterans kind of, you know, like, missing, like, half of his arm, but has, like, strapped a shield onto it and is, like, you know, has his old, like, sword at his side. He's now, like, lifting it into the air and, like, shouting along with you.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of as you swear this oath to yourself, a little peek behind the screen for everyone. For the past while, I've been getting Jim to prepare two character sheets in the anticipation at some point he would finally swear his oath.
And I took my time getting
there. And although we didn't mention this, but our party had just gone to level 6. I'm going to say, Con, you are now on level 7.
Ooh.
And you get a level up from swearing this oath of self to finally becoming an oath of self paladin.
Fucking sick.
What preparations are you guys now making for the arrival of the Hoots Force? Time is getting close.
Yeah. Sid's, you know, gonna be scouting out anything that he hasn't seen already of, like, very good, like, hiding places, you know, things like that. They're gonna fly in, you know, so sneak attacks are gonna be
really helpful, you know, in that place. And anybody that is more of an archer or anything, Cid is kind of getting them in place.
What other things are you planning? What is the plan for your the other townspeople? Where are you guys going to position yourselves? What's the...
So initially, I think I'm subdividing as many people as we have evenly between Brethnock and his veterans. Mm-hmm. So each little unit has a coherent brain, as it were, and will act as well as they can. I think we need Bush to hide as many of these as they can, because every time one springs...
There is still a lot of people as well who have not been able to flee or just won't flee, you know?
Yeah, in that case, maybe that's where Bush should...
Yeah.
Yeah. We need Bush to hide those people.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe in like the last resort or something can be like a...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If we set up the last resort as a literal last resort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Cid is like, you can't say this in a podcast. Like, it's totally, totally illegal to say this in a podcast.
You can't say this.
That the best place to assassinate the Hoots Force is... outside the town square.
But you can't, you can't say that on a podcast.
Yeah. No, you can't.
You certainly can't let them know that the best way to do it is with a mithril tipped arrow fired downwards towards them. But that's the kind of thing you just can't say on
a podcast. No, you can't say that. You can't have detailed plans on how to assassinate a Hoots Force member.
Yeah.
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 Sig Semper Tyrannus.
Oh, I'm dying.
Okay. So the battlefield is the town square. Nearby, near enough by is last resort where
One last little bit of planning. I want to give my ring of Duergar business to Monica.
Holy shit!
Yeah? Yeah. I'm going to say, Monica, like, there's a very good chance this is going to go tits up. If it does, I need you to use this ring whichever way you see fit and absolutely fucking smash. Do you understand?
Confirmed.
Brilliant.
We've both given away our magic items.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
I just felt like it was better for Bellicor to be, you know.
What is your plan for Bellicor and Sun?
Sun can muddy the water with illusions and help Bush. Mm-hmm. Bellicor is going to counteract whatever mind bullshit Maynard.
He's our strongest magic user.
So. Yeah. He's got to just negate Maynard's mind advantage.
Bruvs, I'm actually here too. Don't know if you just want me to do it.
Stormzy, yeah, you got my note.
Yeah, bro, sorry, I was out picking daisies. What's going on?
Never change, Stormzy.
we probably need a lot of healing. You're our cleric.
Yeah.
There's also that druid is going to be causing trouble.
Who's Force Druid?
Aye.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's like an elf.
Yeah, counteract elemental stuff, heal people.
Yeah, we just need you in a support role here.
Sling spells.
Yeah, bro, if I can certainly do that.
You're real big too. If it comes to it, kick someone.
I can kick someone. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah,
yeah.
Never underestimate a little physical violence, Stormzy.
Bro, I tried to keep away from it, but you know, if it comes to it, don't mind knocking a few skulls.
What time is it now?
Well, bro, so I think it's about time for a dramatic appearance of the Hoots Force. And would you look at that? He kind of points up in the air and you see these three wispy figures of the Hoots Force descending down towards Storm's Reach as you guys are preparing.
All right,
and we'll find out, bruvs, what's going to happen on the next episode. Yeah?
Let's get with the violence.
Nice, nice. Cid is so tired.
Yeah, it's probably like 5 or 6.
Con is still well caffeinated.
Yep. Con's fine. Yep.
Actually, he's better than he's ever been. He probably didn't even need to drink the coffee because he's leveled up. So.
But yeah, thank you so much for listening. As always, hey, it would be great if you could leave us a review. We know most of our listeners listen on Spotify and you can't leave reviews there, but you can leave 5-star reviews. And to be fair, a lot of you have been doing that. We have loads of them and that's great. If you haven't, do it. It's, you know, super easy. Yeah. It's right there in your app. Just boop.
We want to be in our growth era.
Yeah. We've been doing,
like Cid said, it's about the community, guys.
Yeah,
support each other.
Yeah,
give us a review.
And genuinely, reviews help a lot. We got a review in there the other day, and we were sharing around in our group chat, and we were all super excited, and it was great.
Yeah, it was great.
So yeah, we'd really appreciate it. I don't know where you can leave reviews. I think it's just Apple.
It's just Apple.
But hey, check if you listen to us on something that's not Spotify. Check if you can leave a review there. That would be great. Mm. And if not, tell a friend.
Yeah, give an in-person review.
Yeah, in-person review. That would be fantastic.
We're very 90s.
We'd love that. Yeah.
And if you don't want to do any of that, you can come tell us in person at our live show in May.
That's very much not as easy, but better.
Run on stage. Tell us.
Yeah. In the middle of a real dramatic moment in our live show, just be like, I really like your podcast.
I mean, I would not be upset about
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
no,
fine.
I think that would be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah, live show is in May. It's very hard to know how many tickets are left because we record these in advance, but they have been going quickly. So hopefully there are some left. If you haven't got one yet, then definitely go and grab
one. And in the weird situation that maybe this is afterwards somehow, we hope you enjoyed our live show.
That gray area now.
Yeah, we're in that gray area. I haven't checked the recording schedule. I can't remember.
This one should be right before.
Yeah, because there's a mini arc in play that's been recorded somewhere as well.
But this will be before the...
This will be before that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, no, it will be.
Yeah.
But yeah, until then, stay dangerous, I guess.
Later, kids.
Bye.
No, say dangerous.
Stay dangerous.
Just say it, Ryan. Say dangerous. Just say it once.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Stay part of the community.
I really thought he was going to say it there.
That's just as good.
Bye.